Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of The Plays the Thing. I'm the host of the podcast, Tim McIntosh, and I recently found something while helping clean out my parents' house. And this thing that I found is the thing that kind of introduced me as a child to William Shakespeare. And the thing that I found was also my brother and my sister's introduction to Shakespeare. So for this episode, I've actually invited my brother and my sister and also my mom onto this episode. And I'm going to reveal to my brother and my sister the thing that introduced us to Shakespeare. So I'm going to tell you guys, audience, now that the thing is a 1950 edition of the classic illustrated comic book of William Shakespeare's Hamlet, which my brother and my sister have not seen in at least a couple of decades. So I am about to reveal it to them on this very special episode of The Plays the Thing. So Carissa and Scott and Mom, I want to welcome you to The Plays the Thing. Thanks for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
Mom, are you happy to be here? Let me give a brief introduction to everybody. Carissa Craven, my sister, is VP of Creative Service at Westfall Gold, a major donor fundraising agency in Atlanta, Georgia. Scott McIntosh, brother, is co-owner and proprietor of Meats and Foods, an Inside the Beltway restaurant about 1 mile from the U.S. Capitol building. And Cheryl McIntosh is, Mom, what, you're a well-retired queen bee. Absolutely. Is what I would say. That's the introduction to my family. Okay. So, but to recap what's going on, I have invited you, Carissa and Scott, especially, I've invited you to this podcast. I've asked you to turn on the mics and I have given you absolutely no preparation whatsoever for what we're about to do. So I first want to say you're welcome for that, but there's actually like a purpose. I have something that I want to show you guys. But I want it to be a surprise. And I've sent it to you in your email. And I think you both have the email kind of queued up, do you not?
Yeah,
probably. Okay.
But you have not yet opened the untitled PDF attachment in the email. Okay. So here's what we're going to do, because I just actually want to hear your response. I'm going to count down from three. And with your mics on, I want you to open up the PDF. Does that sound good? Right. Does that sound good? Scott's holding his cell phone out and blocking our view. Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, open the PDF.
Couldn't preview file. This file is too large to preview.
Stop it. Are you serious? It's too large to preview?
Download anyway. I'm downloading it. I don't care.
Click download anyway. You guys, click download anyway.
I'm downloading now.
Logan.
Oh man, I'm so happy about this. I was furiously Googling best Shakespeare monologues in case you put us up. Ask us what our favorite bit was from Midsummer Night's Dream or something.
And you were just going to roll out with it.
Mm-hmm. As if I just had it ready. Oh, there we go.
You see it?
I do.
Krista, do you see it?
Still downloading.
It's still downloading. I'm just waiting. Scott, do you remember it?
Oh, absolutely. I've got this thing committed to memory.
Do you really?
Oh yeah. I was kind of obsessed with classic comic books when I was very little. Man, the art in these is so great. This is really good podcast content too, by the way. Do we describe the beautiful?
Okay, what I want to do is I want to have Carissa describe like the opening cover of the PDF, which is still downloading, Carissa?
Still downloading.
You're kidding. What kind of connection do you have at home? Do you have like
I'm
a hamster wheel connection?
Oh, well, Scott just showed me his... just showed me his phone, which shows the classic comic books cover of Hamlet with sweet doomed Ophelia in all of her like mid-70s glory on the front cover.
And Hamlet is on the cover, Tim. That's right, right?
Hamlet's on the cover, but front and center
like
is Ophelia. Like front and center. It's such a strange cover that this beautiful, I mean, the blonde makes sense because presumably Ophelia is Danish. That makes some sense. But why is she so up front and Hamlet, moody, moody Hamlet, is kind of lurking behind her shoulder in the background? And he's no bigger than the other two characters over her other shoulder, and the king.
Okay, that was my thing. I'm like, who are the guys that are staring through the curtains? Who are, I guess everybody's looking in at Ophelia in her bedroom. Is that
sort of?
This is a weird scene. Like,
why looks like Marcia Brady?
She does look like Marcia Brady. She does look like Marcia Brady. Okay, here's what I want you guys to do. Actually, Chris, I'd like for you to start. I just want you to tell me, and this is like putting you on the spot, but I want you to tell me your classic comic book outline of Hamlet. Like, what do you remember about Hamlet based on classic comic books? And can you remember anything?
Does Ophelia drown in this one?
Yes.
Okay, I remember a frame of Ophelia face up in the water, looking like sort of angelic, but also clearly like on the way out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
I found that very mysterious as a young person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scott, any other plot points?
I only remember the ghost artwork because there's some really good ghost stuff. I will tell you, I took Shakespeare course in college and was wholly unprepared for Hamlet. I thought I had Hamlet locked down. And
because you had classic comic book memory? Yeah,
and I didn't have Hamlet locked down. I performed very poorly. I think I actually didn't even read along with the first act with the class because I was like, I don't even need to.
I got this.
I got it. And then I showed up and they were like, Polonius. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's start over.
Who?
Laertes?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not pronounced Laertes.
Of a classic comic book in third grade should be enough to serve me in this situation.
You have a good idea.
I'm mystified that it's not.
My scholastic approach. You have a good idea of me at 19. Yeah. Not a problem. I got it.
Any other plot points that we remember from the classic comic book? Let's back up. I want to describe, because most people probably do not have the intimate knowledge of classic comic books illustrated that we do. We had probably, I don't know, Mom, what do you think? A dozen of classic comic books?
At least, yeah.
And it's not comic, that's not the right, it's not cartoon artwork. It's serious line drawings. I think the art is being pretty high caliber.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's much closer to what it would be a graphic novel now.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to describe it. I don't remember much about Hamlet because I'll be honest, I did not like Hamlet as a comic book because I was kind of, every time I opened it up, I was like, okay, I've read Moby Dick 15 times. I've read, you know, like the action packed comic book too many times. I'm going to read Hamlet. And the whole thing for me was, how quickly can I get through to the fencing scene at the end?
Oh, that's
where the action
is. That's really smart.
And I want to get to the fencing scene. And they, in classic comic books, to their credit, they tease out the fencing scene. I mean, I think it lasts like longer in the comic book than it does in the actual play. So I didn't love, you know, there's like all these long blocks of text, which are these like now monologues that I love. But back then you're like, I don't want to read To Be or Not to Be, this block text of To Be or Not to Be. It's boring.
To Be or Not to Be is fencing. Fully a third of a whole page. Is
yeah,
just
text. An entire page.
Like I know what child is going to see that whole block of text and be like, all right, let's dive into this weird language.
I'm going to settle in with this.
And they don't change the dialogue is Shakespearean. It's not like, it's not, hey, Hamlet, what's up? I don't know. Thinking about killing myself. It's
right.
It's very like, I guess is it Elizabethan or whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard to read as a child. I skimmed through all of it. Even now I look at it, I'm just, how are you supposed to read
a little
this?
Bit.
It's just a little too much. It's so much.
I know. It's so much. Okay, Mom, where did you find the classic comic books? Because we had like 20 of them. And I mean, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Do you remember the background of where you got these things?
Yes, I do.
Tell me.
There was a bookstore in downtown Atlanta called Oxford Books, which was just the best bookstore because they had the best used books and other books. So I think we were down there, Dad and I were down there one night, and he saw these things, and it's like, oh my goodness. Oh, I read those as a child. Oh, look at those. So, you know, started grabbing them and buying some and brought them
home. So Dad in his youth, presumably, would read classic comic books.
He'd seen them, yeah.
And he was all fired up when he saw them again.
Yeah, it was like they were made in 1950, so they were common in his age.
I had no idea. I do know. So I remember, I want to ask you guys, I remember that thing as a child that was so ever-present that now I wish that I had it, but I hated it then, which was boredom. Like I used to get bored. And when I would get bored, I remember going, I think it was to Dad's study, and there'd be a stack of the comic books. Mm-hmm. And that's when I would kind of go rifling through and see which one of the classic comic books I wanted to read in the backyard or read in the, you know, like on the couch or something like that. Is that where, Chris, is that where you remember retrieving classic comic books from Dad's study?
I don't remember where they were. I do remember that our parents did a really good job just leaving accessible literature laying around. They did a great job of kind of like populating, you know, the area with enriching material.
Scott, do you remember where you would find them?
Yeah. I remember the shelf they were on even. And they were stacked up. It was a low shelf. There was about 10 of them. And I would do the same as you. You're instantly drawn to Moby Dick because it's much cooler than everything else.
Yes.
There's some good art in Hamlet, but again, like it's they don't really cut it down for the children. It's pretty intense.
Don't cut it down for the children.
Like they're going through, I'm skimming this as we do it, and they're going through like the play within a play, and they're talking about doing it in pantomime. And I'm like, what 10-year-old even understands what that concept is? Like,
I'm going to be honest, that's tough for me as a 47-year-old person.
Yeah. Wait, Chris, say that again. It's a what?
It's tough for me as a 47-year-old person. You know, with some of these Shakespeare dramas, it's like, wait, what's happening? And then there's like a double identity and someone's in disguise, or there's these like layers within layers that are very, you got to be like working at full tilt to catch it as an adult with a fully fledged adult intellect.
For sure.
But there are like, things like cliff notes.
Yeah, there are things like cliff notes.
So you just know what the story is.
Cliff notes actually will explain it to you though. This classic comic book, it's just like, hey, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are here. And I'm like, what?
Who are they? Why are they named Rosencrantz and Guildenstern?
How do I even write that? I'm going to go find a paperback in Dad's bookshelf.
Okay, before we go ahead, Scott, go ahead.
I remember very vividly trying to follow along with the plot of Hamlet. And honestly, coming back to this now, the plot of Hamlet is really complicated. There's a lot going on. Because like, you forget about who, like Horatio is a main character and he kind of disappears for a lot of the play. Am I right?
Oh yeah. And okay, do you remember anything in the classic comic books about Fortinbras?
Excuse me?
Right. No, Fortinbras, like head of the invading army. Totally. And it's like kind of a major plot point because the Fortinbras is the last guy on the stage in a way. After Hamlet dies, It's Fortinbras, bro.
The comic book does give a lot of time to Polonius. I will give it that. Polonius gets a lot of stage time in the comic book.
Do you have a childhood memory about Polonius? Like, what is this guy like? Do you have any sort of notion of who Polonius is?
Childhood, no. I do remember, and I don't even know if this is a hot take, I do remember in college realizing that Polonius was the to thine own self be true guy and kind of being like I know that guy.
Yeah.
But then also realizing that Polonius is kind of a dope and should I actually believe anything he says? So at that point you're like, to that known self be true, is that even good advice? That seems like terrible advice.
Absolutely. It's like, I think that's one of the kind of fun riddles of the play is he's a clown. He's a complete goon. But that advice that he gives to his son Laertes, like if you read it, you're like, wow, this is actually really good advice. What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Unless it's really terrible advice because maybe your own self is actually a horrible person and you should not
listen to it. Right, maybe so. Carissa, of all the classic comic books that we had that mom and dad kind of left littered around the house, did you have a favorite?
Ooh, I did like looking at Romeo and Juliet because there was a picture of people kissing in it.
What?
Yeah, during the initial meeting scene where they're at the party and they encounter each other, you know. I think there was a little small frame with a kiss. What lips do his hands do?
Really?
Like, wow, this is scandalous.
Wait, yeah. do you think when classic comic books was kind of like in its prime, were they shy about that sort of thing? I don't know.
It was pretty balanced. Okay. I didn't see that in Black Beauty though, which was my other favorite of the classic comic books. Anything with a horse figure as the hero of the story, I was fully on board with that.
You love that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Scott, favorite classic comic books aside from Moby Dick?
That's a tough one. We had the War of the Worlds one, right?
I think we did.
I liked that one because of the art and it was like a little bit scary. A lot of the classic comic books are not, let's just say that people wouldn't be giving them to their children now. Does that make sense?
No. Why not?
There's some problematic like imagery in some of them. Like there's a lot of
Uncle
like,
Tom's Cabin.
A lot of
like Native American stuff is pretty like, a lot of noble savage type.
Yeah,
type
right. Dodgy, right.
But I do remember, I mean, honestly, I remember being annoyed by classic comic books because I wanted them to be more like regular comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so we had some.
They keep trying to edify me.
Yeah. And it's just like, why? What are all these words for? Like, what? Let's get the point across. We can do this with all these paragraphs. But the art was so great that you always go back to them.
Totally. Okay, so Mom, you also had kind of mixed into the classic comic books oeuvre a series of Archie comic books. Do you remember the Archie comic books?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's just because they were available.
Yeah, right. See, I remember the Archie comic books were supposed to be so much more kind of like approachable and relevant, contemporary. But the art wasn't as good. The art just wasn't as good as classic comic books. I mean, the art was great.
Yeah, that was great.
Archie was cartoonish, and classic comic books just had this kind of regality. Is regality a word? It was regal.
Yeah.
We also had a great many Spire Christian comics.
I think that's about Spire.
I think that's what Tim is talking about. You're talking about the Al Hartley that did Archie, did Christian themed comic books.
And Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika.
I remember that one. I remember
just about every frame of that one. Yeah, that was an Al Hartley classic.
And what's the story behind that one, Krista? Do you remember it?
Well, let's see what Wikipedia has to say about
it's
this.
What was her name?
Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika.
I think she kind of like she falls in love with a young SS officer.
Yes, she's indoctrinated by the Hitler youth after the Nazi invasion of Czechoslovakia. Then she comes to realize that Nazi ideology is not for her, and she recognizes it as brainwashing and terrible. She rejects it. And then she immigrates to the United States with a handsome GI.
Oh, you're kidding. I don't remember all that.
Founds a Christian ministry. Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
It's the Sound of Music if it were a Sliding Doors situation where, like, if she actually didn't go with her family when the Nazis came, but instead went with, what was his stupid name? What was...
Yeah, I don't
know. He was the 17-year-old.
Rudy.
Rudy. I always think Friedrich, but Friedrich is the brother.
Mom, I mean, this kind of is leading me to a question to Mom. Mom, when you think about Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika, how concerned were you that one of your children were going to become part of, like, the Hitler youth?
I did not even read the comic book. I let them have it without even censoring it.
Okay. So. Okay.
Wow.
Mm. So brave.
Range parenting.
So brave.
But there were some others. There was like Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was there a Dietrich Bonhoeffer? I don't know.
I don't think there was. I wish there was.
Wasn't there a Chuck Colson one?
Yes. Yeah. Born Again was made into a comic book.
Yep. There were.
I remember not liking that one.
I hated the Chuck Colson one. I liked Crossing the Switchblade.
I
was really good.
Crossing the Switchblade.
That one is based on a novel. There's a few that are based on like full novels. There's a In the Presence of Mine Enemy. Yeah. Do you remember this novel?
No.
It's a novel of a POW in Vietnam. So, all right, I'm going to show this to you, but I'll describe it. It's comic books are so wild. The stuff that they will give you. So. Here we go.
Yeah.
I don't know if you probably can't see
this. I don't remember this at all, Scott. We're looking at it. Okay,
you probably can't see the artwork. So it's an American POW who is like badly beaten. And there's a lot of Vietnamese guards around him. And one of them says, "You will write a confession or you will die. What is your choice?" And then the American's holding a sheet of paper that says, "Death." That's the cover.
Wow.
That's the cover of the comic book. Yes, the cover. And then
Scott,
there's a guy behind him.
Would you say that your kind of peacenik stance was developed by Spire Comics?
I was radicalized by Al Hartley.
You guys know that Al Hartley's son was the pastor of a local church here.
In Atlanta?
In Lilburn.
Oh, I had no, in Lilburn.
Ow.
I had no idea.
Hyperlocal.
It's sad that he didn't follow in his dad's footsteps.
I will tell you guys that my favorite of all the comic books that we had, even more than Moby Dick, I'm dead serious about this, was the Picture Bible.
We had
a red pleather covered Picture Bible. And I studied that thing like it was Torah. I mean, and to this day, I will be trying to think of like a story from the Old Testament, you know, like the Benjamites at the end of the book of Judges. And I'll be like, how did the Picture Bible represent the Benjamites?
Totally.
I swear, I'll still do that. It made such an impression on me.
Oh, I love the illustration of Solomon and his temple.
Yes, yes, like with the huge cedars of Lebanon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the temple.
The man, what's the one I'm trying to think of? The
it's a comic book or a book?
Is it Bathsheba? No. It's from the same picture Bible. The
David and Bathsheba.
The Rahab. Yeah, David. No, but this, I'm conflating stories here. Who had the velvet curtain that came down in Jericho?
Yeah, Rahab. Drops the velvet rope over the wall of Jericho, right?
That one was a very cool illustration. I like that one.
That was a great illustration.
Yeah. And there was the big chunk right in the middle that was like 50 pages of these incredible illustrations. And so you could just skip the Bible and get right to the illustrations.
See, I think, honestly, it was the Exodus was awesome. The Exodus part of the picture Bible.
Yeah, Exodus like stuff was really cool.
Through Judges was just like red hot. There was so much action happening, you know?
Calm down a little bit.
What's that?
It calms down a little bit after.
It does calm down a little bit.
Yeah, after Samson.
Samson, it's like, man, the after sequel to Samson down. Is a little bit lackluster.
It's a little dry.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, I just wanted to bring you on because I just wanted to talk about what I wanted to talk about was Memory Lane. And we just
wanted to. I think you did a great job.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any?
Offense is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it. A brother's murder. It's amazing that I wasn't super into this when I was 9 years old.
I thought you had prepared a little dialogue and you were going to give us as we were exiting.
Performative art.
It's beautiful.
That's from Claudius's like speech after the play within the play. Isn't that right?
Yeah. The king.
We get it, guy.
Conscience stricken. We get it, guy.
We get it, guy.
We get it.
You feel
you're
bad.
An expert. Okay.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Oh, I was making fun of you.
Oh, you guys. That's. I think if I'm not mistaken, that's from Claudius's speech after the play. I don't know. I'm kind of riffing.
Let me do
here.
It by heart. Here we go. 3, 2, and
one thing before we go. I think the art for the to be or not to be scene is so wonderful because Hamlet looks he's so emoed out and he's sitting in this throne and he's like got like dark shadows crossing his body. And I remember thinking, I think he's thinking about killing himself. Oh. I remember thinking that like as a young person kind of figuring that out. And what do you know? I was right. He was thinking about killing himself.
I don't want to blow up your spot, but it also does have a caption in the top left corner where it says Hamlet considers suicide. So you might have read it.
I'm not as great of a close reader as I thought I was as a boy.
Kind of you right might have read black and white.
You're what's the opposite of close reading? Face read. You read it. You took it at its face.
Yeah.
And I think you should be proud.
That I did a good face reading.
You did a good face reading.
I am pretty proud of that.
Did you guys do any prepping? Did you just remember all this stuff anyway?
I've just been, I made some pickled jalapenos and I smoked some ham. So in that sense, I did.
In preparation for this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Chris, did you pickle any?
I did. Yeah.
Anything in preparation for this podcast?
I did. I boiled some eggs.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, I think this is just an excuse to see your faces and to try to make each other laugh, which is like, I don't know, one of the major joys in my life. I just wanted to record it for everybody.
Whenever you want to do a scene, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
We'll bring you, okay.
Yeah, we're at your service.
Okay. We'll bring you back on.
Yep.
Okay, everybody. That is our, I don't know, we're going to call that like a teaser episode for the upcoming Hamlet podcasts. The Hamlet podcast will include myself, Heidi White, and Andrew Kern. So look for those in your podcast feed. As always, you're welcome to ask questions to me, to Cheryl McIntosh, Carissa McIntosh, or Scott McIntosh about their commentary on the Close Reads Facebook page. If you're not a member there, become a member today. And thanks for joining us, and as always, we wish you happy reading.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.